I'd like to talk about the subject on the board. I'd like to talk a little about reproof. There's two sides of reproof. And just so the devil don't aggravate you about it, I'm not talking about being a reprover. If I was going to speak about that, I would use scriptures like be harmless as dove, wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. I'd use scriptures like having your word seasoned with salt and being kind of, what's the scripture? Kind one another, giving one another. Those kind of words, but I'm not talking about that, so it's an understood fact that we know that if you was going to reprove, you'd want to do the very best in getting somebody in a position to receive it. I'm not talking about that side, so we'll lay that aside. I want to talk about being willing to receive. Willing to receive. This is an observation and may be true or not, but it seems to me like that in my 30 plus years of serving the Lord and being a part of this body, that there is changes. There has been changes that's happened. Incremental moving. And one of the things that seems like we've moved away from the time I got saved and my understanding of the generations before, and from looking at society, it looks like there's a real unwillingness to be reproved. It seems like there is a real move in our world to don't tell me I'm wrong. It's resisted, and if you dare it, you make sure that you coddle me really good and you pet me really good before you dare it. Well, Lord help us. This is a tool for our souls. It's a tool. It is a tool no matter how it comes, in what spirit it comes, or in what way it comes. It is a tool for those that want to go to heaven more than anything else. If you really want to go to heaven, it's a tool that you better not leave out. Now, I've seen in my lifetime, like I said, I've seen those that was in position, and those in places that were, for whatever we classified them, was willing to go to someone and say, that's not acceptable. And I've seen in my lifetime a willingness to accept that. But you know that we're really, really challenged now to have enough fortitude or love, if you say, or ability to go to someone and actually risk the relationship rift that it'll cause to say, I'm concerned about you. That's wrong. Lord help us. This has to do with where we sit in our pride and humility. It really does. If someone's going to come and say something about me, Apostle Paul went to Peter and withstood him to his face. Peter was in a place, we know how Peter was, but Peter was in a place, and when the Jews started coming in, Peter made a division between the Gentiles and the Jews, and a separation in the church, and he just separated, and he done it, and Paul comes along and said, he withstood him to his face. He said, Peter, you're wrong. Now, who's that for? Well, make Paul feel good and powerful and got one step up on his apostle and everybody can look at him as being the supreme apostle. No. No. Peter, you're wrong. You're damaged and you're damaging those around you. You're wrong. It was for Peter. Folks, it's for Peter. You want to go to heaven? You want to correct things? There's a tool, but the way we receive it is so much up to us. I want to get scripture in first. I got several today, but I want to look at the Proverbs. Let's see. This is Proverbs. I think it's the first chapter I'm looking for. Well, I don't see that. Proverbs 1. Verse 30 says, they would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. 10 and 17. Well, that's not the one I want either. The scripture I'm looking for is maybe 9 and... Yeah, 9 and 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. You know, that brings a real challenge in. Who wants to be hated? Don't you reprove a scorner. He'll hate you for it. There's no good that you can accomplish by it. What can you get done? What can you do? Make a worse relationship than you start with. Did he say how it was reproved? What manner you go by? How soft you are with it? How much coddling you do before you get there? How much petting you do before you get there? How much understanding you take into it? No, it says don't to do it. Reprove not a scorner. Because it doesn't matter how you do it. He's going to hate you for it. He's not going to receive that counsel. No matter how it comes, you can't win with that kind of a thing. Well, Lord, help us then. Where are we at in this idea of being reproved? If we're willing to say that I'm not willing to take reproof, you would have to say that it's impossible for me to have a wrong. It's impossible for me to have the wrong position in my life. It's wrong. I cannot be wrong. I can't hold a bad place. I can't see things wrong. I am perfectly made here. I got it all together. You willing to say that? No, you're not going to say it. You're not even going to say that one to yourself because you know better. So there's a tool that may be used in the hands of the Lord through all kinds of ways. Maybe a preacher preaching. It might be a sinner man on the street. It might be a family member that you don't get along with, but he'll know you well enough to say something to you in contention. The definition of reproof: blame expressed to the face, to find fault with. Whew, I don't like that. Blame expressed to the face. Well, Lord help us. Don't reprove a scorner. He'll hate you for it. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke, which the word reprove and rebuke in this passage is exactly the same word in the Hebrew. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee. He'll love you. Now, there's a place to be. Paul said of the gospel, he said, whether it's preached in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and I rejoice. If the bottom line is that Christ is preached, people will do it of pretension, they do it in hypocrisy, They do it to try to do other things, but Christ is exalted. Christ is put out to the people. And so I rejoice. I don't care what it's there for, what they're doing it for. The end result. The end result is there. It doesn't matter if somebody does it for a bad reason, a good reason. What reason? It's to consider. Marty, this is you. Am I? Paul said that I judge not myself. It's no great thing that you judge me, he said. I don't judge myself. But I allow the Lord to lay the judgment on me. So you say this is you to consider and say, is that true? Maybe that is true. Maybe that is something I need in my life. I better accept that. Story, I don't know how to tell this just the way I want. Not using any names here, but someone told me this. It was about his wife. Her health wasn't good. Her weight was too much. She's concerned about her family. So he says, you shouldn't be eating that. Her response back to it was, that only makes me want to eat more. Every time you say something, just makes me want to eat more. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. You come and tell me something about myself, this is going to make me be worse. Or I love you for that. I want to go to heaven. I want to see it right. I'm going to tell you something of observation. I believe it's true. Because of the world and the way the world is and the changing of things and the attitudes of the world, it seems like we're less and less likely to accept reproof among us. We're less and less likely to have somebody that's willing because a scorner will hate you. It's less and less likely to have somebody that knows and sees it and discerns it to even tell you about it. It's true. Several years ago, I was in a place to where, I'm going to use my language careful, but I was in a place to where that was coming in lunch after service, and one of the ladies there that was serving was absolutely inappropriate to been anywhere, but let alone there. And I wondered, who's going to say something? Who's going to change it? Who's going to suggest it? Well, after a while, there was a good dear old saint woman. She came up with a sweater and said, put this on. You need to change something here. But there's a risk of what we can't see for ourselves. You know, reproof is a tool. Thank God for reproof. It's to prove again. It's to redo. It's to bring a fact where there's a fault. To change a circumstance. But you can be a scorner or you can be a wise man. You can hate the reproof or you can love it. The fact of it is that reproof comes through all kinds of ways. And the Lord wants to be able to mold us, to shape us, to reproof us. He may send your best friend in the most kind way, but He don't always do it. That might not be the avenue that it comes. And they may not see it. And the only one that might see it is the critiquing of an enemy. Someone that don't like you will look deep enough in you to try to find something. Maybe they find it there. Are you willing to shuck off the avenue of reproof? Lord, help us. It's a serious matter in these scriptures. Because I know what it feels like for someone to say, you're wrong. Because there's an element of pride about us. There is. We have to put it down. We have to deal with it. And when you come along and suggest something like that, it hurts. Don't it? Makes you feel bad. I've tried and tried and tried. And I want an image and I want to be known as something. And along comes somebody and tears that down. It makes me like something else. And I ain't accepting it. I'm going to fight against or buck against it. Don't reprove us. Be careful. Don't reprove a scorner. He'll hate you for it, lest he hate you. But you prove a wise man. You know, there's people, and I believe they've been just as sincere as they can be. I never felt in the place hardly to do it, but I've had a lot of people say to me, I mean among the saints, Brother Marty, if you see anything, you tell me. And when somebody says that, I think, really? Really? I don't want you to hate me. I don't want to bring the rift. If I see anything, I'll say, Lord, show them. Show them. Maybe that's the same thing. I don't know. But it's a great tool. But I'm going to tell you, this is one of the purest gauges. This gets right down to where it's at, to where you could really take a criticism of your life and be thankful for it. Because the wise man wants to know. The wise man wants to know. And do you know, there is people that want to, something so badly that they'll go through that. There is a basketball coach at West Virginia University. He's been there a few years now. His name's Huggins. And I've paid attention to his demeanor and the way he is, and I've read a lot of articles about him and things in the paper and listen to interviews of the players, and that he can run people off. He's a rough-mannered person. Rough. But when you talk to the players that play for him and they interview these players and they ask about him, they love him. You know why they love him? He's one of the best. And he will tell them, shout at them, tongue, I told you to be over here. You get over here and sit down. And he'll put them down, demean them. And they say, I love him. I can't get better without him. If I want to go on to another level, he's the man. He's the one that teaches me. He drives it into me. They care about what they're trying to get through, so they accept the criticisms. And he doesn't do it with a pat. He hugs them and tells them he loves them and all this. He really does. But I'm telling you, he's rough and he's hard and he rebukes them. He reproves them. Over and over and over he does it. But in the sense of the basket, they gaining nothing but a corruptible crown. Not going to last long. Their careers, most of them ain't going to have one. They're not going to go anywhere. It's not worth much. We're talking about eternal things here. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about being in truth. We're talking about standing before God. That's what we're talking about. Much more than that. We got some other scriptures. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He is in the way of life that keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth. Proverbs 12. Whosoever loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You know what that's talking about? It's giving an image here of a animal. It's more than just an animal. It's giving an idea of a kind of animal. One that won't learn. One that you can't teach. To its own good, you cannot teach it. They're brutish. So you go try to keep the oxen out of the swamp. He gets stuck. He has to be worked and pulled out. And you try to reprove him. You try to teach him. You strike him or you goad him. You try to get him to keep away from there. You go back the next day and he's in there again. And again, till finally you go out one day and he's down too deep. You can't get him out. He dies in there. This is what this is referring to. It's referring to be to someone that's going to destroy themselves regardless. Regardless. The ironies of life of self-destruction. A famous personality in our world, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh made light of smoking for years. Would make the comment about his formerly nicotine-stained fingers. And he bragged for years about his high-quality cigars and what they were. He has a right, and that's what he was proclaiming, that he felt like everybody had the right to do what they want to and quit trying to tell me not to. And I don't believe that you ought to tell people those kind of things either. But the great irony is at stage 4 cancer now. The great irony of life is that, folks, it would have been better to be rebuked. It would be better to be reproved in this life than to stand wrong before God. So it doesn't matter how it comes. So you don't like me, and so you say, that guy's an idiot and all he does is stand around and smokes. He's going to kill himself. Maybe that's good counsel from an enemy. Maybe I ought to change some factors of my life. Maybe I ought to do something. The reproof is a tool in God's toolbox. But we have, as all things of the gospel, we need the right heart or it's useless. It's actually counterproductive and makes us worse unless we humble ourselves. I never claim to be perfect. I need God to help me through whatever avenues that He may have that I might be able to be made better by instructions, by being able to say, you're wrong. Did you know that the ultimate first, you have to be reproved to get saved? Do you know that? You can't get saved until the understanding and knowledge of how wrong you are. That's a reproof that you're undone and in sin and you need to be changed has to come before we can be saved. Do you know to continue to be saved, we need the same attitude we got saved with? Keep the same attitude that I got saved with. Lord, I need you to alter and change my life. 15 and 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Read that again. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. Oh, but what about them that don't forsake the way? You're going along, and all of a sudden you head off on a wrong direction. It's nice to have somebody to say, that's the wrong way. I remember one time Brother Sammons was bringing me back from, was over at Charlottesville somewhere. Anyway, made a turn, and I wasn't even paying attention. He was driving. And we're going, and all of a sudden, the sun is shining. It was late in the evening in the summer, and the sun was shining right on my right cheek. And we're driving along, and I wasn't even paying attention, just going along talking and stuff. And he was driving, and the sun kept shining right there. And I said, Brother Sammons, where are you going? He looked and said, we're going home. And I said, you're going south. Due south. You've been going due south for a while. The sun's hitting me. The setting sun's hitting me right on the face. He said, no, this is the right way. We're on south. I said, going home. And I said, Brother Samuels, we're going south. I thought we were supposed to be going north. And he was like, well, that can't be right, can it? It ain't going to get us home. It ain't going that ain't going to get you home. You know, it can be embarrassing, hard, difficult to say somebody that you admire and love and stuff, you're wrong. But if you keep going this way, you ain't never getting home. You want to go home? You're going to have to turn around. Because this is the wrong way. It's just the wrong way. You can't do it that way. You can't live that way. You can't be that way. There's got to be some changes. You're going to have to change from this. You're going to have to accept that. Do you get the sense in the scriptures that Jesus was always mushy? Now listen, there ain't nobody loved like Jesus loves. But was he always mushy? In the sense of human emotion, was he always that super sensitive? No, he wasn't. He rebuked them disciples at times. Must have been hard language. He told a woman one time, should I take the children's bread and give it to dogs? Lord. You know, if she'd have been offended at that, she'd have never got what she'd come for, would she? She'd have never got it. But no, she humbled herself and said, true, Lord. True, Lord. That's right. Oh, ye of little faith, he said to them disciples. I'm through with this guy speaking to me like that. You've been speaking down at me the whole time, and I'm done. Where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You want this? Here it is. But I got something in my toolbox that I got to pull out every once in a while. It ain't always going to be pretty. And if the insinuation that you're eating too much and it's not good for your health offends you, eat some more. Eat some more. Make it worse. Or you can say, Lord, is that true? And the Lord might tell you yes. And you say, do you have grace for it? Do you have help for it? Can I be different? And there's going to be a great big boom and yes to that. There's going to be a big boom and saying that I can make of you exactly what I want you to be. I got grace for you and help for you. If you're a wise man. This actually says, let's see, where was I at? 5. Well, there's another verse there. It's 15 and 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Now, I've told this story many times here, but it fits in so well. A young man over in Webster County, just a few years ago, he got a speeding ticket. He got a new truck. And he got a speeding ticket going to football practice. He'd been driving crazy, driving fast. They said he loved to drive fast. And he got a ticket. And so the coach reproved him. And not only reproved him, but punished him. Made him run extra laps. Well, there was a hill over there, I think, is what they made him run the hill. And it upset him. So that very day, I think that night, they was going to a spaghetti banquet. Activity bus was taking the players, but he drove his own truck. And he was mad. They said that he was upset at what the coach had done. So he got his chance, and he went roaring by that bus. Just as fast as he could go. We got by the bus, another vehicle was coming, and he had to get in. he had to get into the other lane quick, so he got in and he overplayed it and he went too far. And he jerked the wheel back once he dropped off, and he jerked back and his truck went rolling down in front of all of his friends. And his truck went rolling down the road in front of the school bus. Why die? Why die? The scorner will hate you. He may even kill himself over it. This young man died right there in the Route 20. The coach tried to save his life. That coach was not trying to destroy that young man. That coach was loving him. And he probably didn't just coddle him. He probably was hard on him to try to tell him, you need reproof. You're going to die. You're going to kill somebody. You're going to die. Don't do it. You'll remember this. I'm going to make you do this. But rather than saying, is that me? Could that happen? Consider. No. I'll drive faster and faster, and I'll show you. There's a good possibility that that coach regretted him doing that. He probably paid the price for that. But I ain't sure he would have saved the boy anyway. The Lord's trying to save us. We've lost this, folks. I'm going to tell you. We've lost it. We lost the attitude. If I want to go to heaven, I'll do whatever it takes. We can say it. We can do that. But this is the guideline right here. This is one of the big ones. Am I willing to just humble myself down? I'm not going to look here because time's running out. But there's a scripture, I think it's in 2 Samuel. And there's a passage of scripture where there was a man that was of the lineage of Saul. He was of the house of Saul. And the man comes and he starts cursing David. He was angry. He was hurt. And he started saying about David, you bloody, murdering skunk. You've done all this and all this. And there was a man there, one of David's men. Give me leave, Lord, I'll go take his head off. Now I'm paraphrasing. But David stops him. No, let him sail. Perhaps God has said, curse David. Maybe David was reflecting in his own life and saying, maybe he ain't so far from truth. Let him keep going. Perhaps God is going to use my enemy to tell me a truth that you're too afraid to. You're afraid to, and you're afraid to. None of you will do it. This man don't care if he dies to tell me this. Let him talk. Maybe he's the only avenue, and I'm like I say, I'm paraphrasing, but maybe he's the only avenue that I have to get the truth. What are you talking about? Lord, help me. If I'm going to have to stand before you, Lord, help me. Another scripture, and we won't turn there either. I think it's the passage in Luke. No, it's in John, maybe. Herod. King Herod. Along comes John the Baptist. And the John the Baptist, Herod was a ruthless man. He had taken his brother's wife. And he did many other evil things, that passage says. And it said that John reproved King Herod for that deed and for his wickedness. Now, here is obviously a man of God. All the people said that John was of God. What was the reproof for? To make John feel big? No. To give Herod a chance. Along comes a man of God. Sees it. I think it was a lot of people that would have saw it. But who's got the boldness to say it? He reproved the king. It was for the king's benefit. But what did the king do? Prove a scorner and he'll hate you. Don't you come along and try to tell me, king, don't you try to come and tell me that I got something wrong. Because if you do, you're going to be in trouble. He had the power to do it, so he put, you all know, put John in prison because he reproved him. He done it for his benefit. He done it for his good. He done it for the ultimate choice. Do you think that maybe when Herod stands before the Lord, that he'll remember what John the Baptist said? Don't you think in judgment or in the eternal hellfire that he will live in for eternity, that he might remember the words of a reproof? Lord, help us. Reproof isn't the bad thing that our humanity wants to make it. It's a tool in the toolbox of God for our own good. But it only works through strong humility. Strong humility to humble myself down. The Bible says, what is it? That all Scripture is given for inspiration. It's all given by the Holy Ghost. It's all given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And it's profitable for reproof and rebuke. Various other things. But it is profitable for reproof. To find somebody in a wrong state and give them the correction of the wrong state. And it doesn't matter who says it. It don't matter what line it comes from. It don't matter if it comes from a friend, the enemy, a song, a scripture, a preacher you like, or one you don't. It's profitable. You don't have to like the minister to sit and listen and get the reproof. Well, I don't like his style. I don't like the way he does it. I don't know what he says. I don't know what I ain't taking what that guy said because he one time said this. You know, if we get into that, there's not much left for the Lord to do. And I just noticed over the years that it seems to me like there used to be a time, and again, I could go to the other side and say that it isn't always winning as it should be. But there was a time that people seemed like that they just took the reproofs as a good thing, as a help to them, rather than having it as a contentious part of my nature. That if you dare insinuate anything about me, I'll find something about you. Oh, you want to say that? Well, here, let me just unload on you. Really? Really, is that what? Lord, help us. The Scripture is given for this, for this point, that we be made better. So I want to encourage us to consider these words, no matter what, no matter how it comes or what the intent even of it is. Do you know that might be wrong? Oh, people are inaccurate. People can fling anything. But you know, when it comes to our soul, what we ought to do is say, Lord, is this me? Is this true? Listen, I feel like I'm fairly gifted at defending myself in my own mind. I can make arguments that I can convince myself about anything. If I let myself be lawyery enough, I can lawyer myself right into anything. You can convince yourself of anything about yourself. But you ought to stop first and say, Lord, is this me? And if it is, help me. And maybe the reputation of it will go out all my life, but allow the truth of it to be changed for eternity. That I'm different than that, what people think that I've always been. Help me to change if I never prove it to them. But that I prove it to God and to myself, that that reproof did not stand void. That reproof, I heard it, Lord, I got it. And I'm altered because of it. And what a valuable... Listen, I'm not going to tell you that I'm speaking about something more than I deal. I'm telling you, I know it because I deal with it. I can feel it. I can feel the thing of it. But the scripture, I read just a few of them. There's a bunch. You can go look them up. There's a bunch of scriptures that talks about the wise taking instruction, reproof, rebuke, loving it, taking it, because it only makes the wise wiser. It makes me better know how to be successful in this race. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.